Chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, and then Brother Mark, I'd like to call on you for the closing then at the end of the service. Brother Ken has asked that we would read from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's kneel together in prayer.
Christ is risen. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is foundational to the Christian faith. Without it, the believer has no hope for this life or the life to come. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." The title of the message this evening, A Resurrection Requires a Death. And as Brother Jeff read in opening, that theme came out in the verses numerous times. In Acts 4:33, it was with great power the apostles continued to testify of the resurrection of the Lord, and much grace was upon them all. The resurrection of Jesus transformed a little band of defeated disciples, cringing in a secluded room, to later become a powerful, spirit-filled team that no persecution could silence. The dramatic change that came over the disciples was a result of believing a foundational truth of the gospel message, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This evening, I do plan to have an object lesson and a story for the children. So I'm glad there are some children that showed up. And there are a lot of children at heart. I see them out there as well. Those disciples at first did not believe Jesus actually arose from the dead. They considered what Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women told them as idle tales. And their words just floated away. They didn't believe them. But it was a different story when they became eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ. Once assured, they never doubted again. They were changed. They had now something to tell the world, even doubting Thomas, made an about face after seeing the risen Christ proclaiming, "My Lord and my God." He went out a changed man, and he went on to die a martyr's death. The resurrection was a powerful event, but it first required a death. Christ died and rose again. Likewise, we need to die to self and the carnal nature. We're referring to the spiritual resurrection at the new birth, when we are baptized and we are buried with Christ. It's a symbol that when we come up out of that water, we are resurrected to walk in newness of life. John in 11:25, in conversation with Martha, said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Martha, before this verse, said, "I know," speaking of Lazarus, "that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And there is coming a future resurrection for all believers at Christ's second coming. We will all receive new bodies at that time. But Jesus was also referring as well to a new life, a resurrection from being spiritually dead to being alive in Him. Paul in Romans 6 uses the resurrection of Christ to show us that we as believers have that resurrection. We can identify with Christ's resurrection, and we can have it because of Christ. But notice again, there can be no life before there is death. We need to die to self. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. John describes this process in his gospel. John 12, verses 24 and 25. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." I read that from the New King James Version. Jesus is talking about wheat. And so, if I take this container of ground, and I also take some grains, and I place them in this container of ground, and move that ground around so those seeds are buried, I then water it, place it in the sunshine, and it is going to produce many more grains than what I put in. Next to our house, in a field of lush green, yesterday I remove just a few wheat sprouts, stalks. They were planted, the wheat grains were planted sometime last fall. And it won't be too long, possibly the end of June, beginning of July, that green will turn brown and there will be wheat heads multiplied many times over. But for that process to take place, there first had to be a death. The grains of wheat had to die. And so to illustrate this principle, I'd like to tell you a story. Actually, the Lord laid this story in my heart during our family devotions one day, many years ago, while reading through the Gospel of John. You may call it a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning about some choice grains of wheat. The story begins, why is the wheat in the farmer's grain bin jumping up and down in joy? The grains are residing in the rustic barn of a farmer who lived long ago. In the corner of the barn, in the grain bin, if the wheat could talk, you may hear the following. We are the farmer's prize grains of wheat. He kept us for a special purpose. We are plump and round and full. All of our cousins have been used for animal feed or have been ground into flour to make bread for our master. Yet, he has kept us for a very special purpose. And as they rejoiced in the favor of their master, the grains of wheat continued to jump up and down in joyful praise. Not many days later, the farmer appeared with a curious looking cloth bag hanging on his shoulder. And with purpose and determination, he walked into his barn. And there he took the scoop and into the grain bin to get the wheat, placing it in his bag. He continued that process until the bag was full. And then he started walking out to the field that was freshly plowed and leveled, ready for planting in the fall. And the grains of wheat were now saying, our moment has arrived. The master now is going to use us for a very special purpose. I wonder what it will be. And so the farmer's calloused hands reached into the bag. He got a handful of those wheat grains and walked to the field and tossed them onto the ground. And he picked another handful, continued doing that, and the grains of wheat said, no, he can't be doing this. He's throwing us away. I thought he was going to save us for a special purpose. And so they started protesting. No! No! You're throwing us away. Why would you do that? And by that time, the news of what was happening came back to the barn, and the very special grains of wheat did not know what to think. But as that scoop was in the farmer's hand, and he took another and another and filled his bag, those grains submitted into the will of the farmer. Even though they did not understand, they submitted regardless of the shock and dismay. And so as those grains of wheat were thrown from the master's hand, they bounced onto the soft earth. Most of the grains nestled down into the crevices and open places of the ground. And when the last scoops of grain were filled from the bin, there were a few grains that decided to save their lives from certain death of the damp, dark earth. We're not going to give up our lives to die in the ground. We're going to live for ourselves. The whims of the farmer will not be our demise. No way. Down into the cracks of the floorboards, they squirmed and wiggled until they were out of reach. Safe at last. Meanwhile, out in the field, gentle rains followed the planting, and in time, the sun and moisture created a blanket of soft green to replace the bare brown. The field from which this came, from a distance, looks like a soft green blanket. And those sprouts grew and grew, stretching toward the sun above. Spring turned to early summer, and the wheat developed heads full of new kernels of wheat. And in time, the stalks turned golden, golden in the summer sun. A vast field of swaying wheat, grains multiplied many times over, were now waving triumphantly in grateful praise to the farmer who saved the choice wheats, the grains for a special purpose. The choice grains of wheat had to die before there was an amazing resurrection of life. The seed planted in the soil died as it gave itself and its stored nutrients to the new plant, sprouting from a decomposed body. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Oh, by the way, what about the grains that kept their life in the barn, tucked away in the cracks of the grain bin? I guess the rest of the story should be told, but I'll save it until the end. So pay attention, children. You don't want to miss the end of the story. To maintain spiritual vitality, we need to continually die to self. In Luke 9:24, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. The cross is a symbol of death to self, done daily. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I die daily. Dying to self is not a once for all event. Sanctification and growing in Christ is a daily process. And so here's the question. Have you, have I died to self? And are we doing that on a continual basis? We have, if one condition is met. What is that condition? We find that in the scripture there in John. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Notice the word much. It means abundant or plenteous. Jesus didn't say that if we die, we may bring forth much fruit. He didn't say that if we die, we likely will bring forth much fruit. He said if we die, we will bring forth much fruit. Spiritual reproduction is the condition and indicator of death to self. And Jesus said, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Fruit becomes evident in our daily walk with Christ. And fruit includes actively participating in the process of winning others to Christ. Galatians 5 also talks about fruit in verses 22 through 24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. Notice the connection there between fruit and death to self in Galatians 5, 22 to 24. Fruit is our attitude. Fruit is our integrity. Fruit is our character. Fruit is our reputation. Fruit is duplicating Christ in our life. Fruit is saying no to what our carnal desires want, and yes to what Christ commands. Such fruit grows out of a life that has crucified self and died to sin. You may ask as well what it means to die to self. As Christ died on the cross, so are we to crucify ourselves? And what is it called? The old man in Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Our carnal, Adamic nature that we inherited and has been passed down since Adam, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We all inherit that sin nature. We are inclined to obey our flesh because of being born in sin. We have a desire to be selfish. We have a desire to retaliate. We have a desire to be important. We have a desire for money. We have a desire for appreciation, to be noticed, to be our own authority. We have a desire to please our appetites, even if they are in conflict with God's commandments. It's our inherited nature. And it's that old man that needs to be put to death, so that our desires are no longer the same. They change. They are brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. When our desires get out of hand and we start making choices that allow their fulfillment, what are we doing? We are serving sin rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. In effect, we adopt the attitude of the grains of wheat, who wanted to do what they mistakenly thought would be best for them. It makes sense to pamper the flesh because it feels better to the flesh. The fleshly desires are ruling our choices but are creating a self-destructive path. On the other hand, when our spirit rules and dictates our choices, the flesh is crucified. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Here's just one indicator to determine if you and I have died to self. And I have not conquered this yet. Suppose you have been wronged in some way or falsely accused. Self will cry out for vengeance or defense. As long as we seek vengeance and it satisfies, self is not dead. And we are failing to keep self on the cross. Dead men do not respond. Furthermore, how do we know we are maintaining victory over self? When we are forgotten, neglected, or purposely avoided, we can take consolation in the fact that Christ suffered far more on our behalf. When our good intentions and statements are ill spoken of, maybe we are misrepresented to others, and we respond in kindness, that's victory over self. When our requests are ignored, our tastes offended, our advice disregarded, our opinions ridiculed, and we take it patiently, the old man is buried, and we are walking in newness of life. When we are content with what is meager, inconvenient, uncomfortable, and less than what most have around us, so that we can better serve others, we're living with heaven in view, and self is on the cross. When we make requests from the bottom of our heart, none of self and all of thee, we know that God's love and grace has conquered. When we are bearing fruit and have a heart for the fields that are white unto harvest, it is a sure indicator that we have died to self. So how can we be victorious in such a daunting task? The power of Christ's resurrection. The power that enabled Jesus to come forth from the grave is the same power that enables us to be victorious over temptation, to be free from the slave master of sin, and to live that new life. Paul's desire for the Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, was that they would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. People who live for self and this world only are like the grains of wheat who tried to save their lives. What happens in the end when someone tries to save their life for themselves? Jesus says they will lose it. And that is exactly what happened to the grains of wheat. In our story of the farmer's choice, grains. So let's find out what takes place in the farmer's grain bin. Remember, those grains of wheat thought they outsmarted the farmer, and they saved themselves from death. But during the dark of night, eyes could be seen prowling in the corners of the barn. A dirty, disease-ridden varmint came searching for food. Yes, not very attractive at all. You know, running this way and that rat came out of his hiding place and followed his nose to where he might find a morsel of food. You know, rats love darkness, and it was dark in that old barn. And so, children, the best way to scare off rats is to let your light shine for Jesus. And those rats of sin and destruction will go running. But that rat eventually found the grain bin. Behave back there. He's real close. And it was no difficulty for the rat to stick its tongue down into the cracks of the grain bin and lick up the remaining choice grains of wheat. It was a most dreadful death. As the grains of wheat were crushed between the garbage-coated teeth of the rats, the very life the selfish grains of wheat had attempted to save for themselves was lost in the end. Yet out in the field, the grains of wheat that were willing to die to self realized an abundant increase that brought a bountiful harvest. Walking in newness of life first requires that we die. There's no other way. The resurrection first requires a death. Again, John 12, 24 and 25. Jesus speaking, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." God bless you in your journey of walking in newness of life.
Now it's my chance to say a few words. It was a wonderful thing to hear a brother speak here this evening about the grains of wheat. How is your fruit basket? How is my fruit basket? Is it full of fruit? Is it full of grain? I have to confess, when I came in here this evening and I didn't see a brother sitting up front with Ken, I had a feeling, I wonder if I'm going to be called on tonight. And you know, I had the same kind of thoughts as those grains that were in the cracks of the floorboards. You know, I'd just rather not. Don't use me. But what greater purpose do we have than to be used? That's what God has us here for, to be used, not to sit idling by. So please forgive me for the thoughts of, you know, not being used. But my greatest desire is to be able to be used by God in many ways, whatever He has for me, my family. I thank you, brother, for the message this evening. It's been a favorite to see how Brother Ken can put these object lessons together. Just pray that each one would be blessed this evening. May we all stand for closing prayer.